Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So since the start of the pandemic, as we all know, the demand for food delivery has skyrocketed, and delivery drivers have faced the consequences of a largely unregulated market, low wages, hazardous streets, and the threat of robbery or assault to bring people takeout. And now, as a result of media exposure and organizing, New York City's council has passed a nation-leading bill that aims to address working conditions for the city's approximately 80,000 food delivery workers. The bill was passed last week, and among other things, it sets a minimum wage for workers, requires apps to disclose their tipping policies, allows drivers to set parameters on trips, and requires restaurants to make their bathrooms available. With me now to talk about what's in the bill and whether it goes far enough and to take your calls are Hildelyn Colon Hernandez, Director of Policy and Strategic Partnerships for Los Deliveristas, and Lihia Gualpa, Executive Director of the Workers' Justice Project. Hildelyn, welcome to WNYC, and Lihia, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I want to open up the phones right away for any food delivery drivers listening. What do you think about the City Council bill that has passed? 646-435-7280. What do you want listeners who are not delivery drivers to know about your life and your working conditions? 646-435-7280. Will this bill change your work in ways that will make it at least possible to use a bathroom in a restaurant or get paid a minimum wage or set your own parameters, geographical parameters for delivery to some degree? How big are these changes, and what else still needs to change, in your opinion? Delivery drivers, if some of you happen to be listening, you'll get first priority right now at 646-435-7280. If you deliver for Grubhub, Seamless, DoorDash, you know who you are. Your thoughts or questions on the new legislation, if you're still getting familiar with what you may now be entitled to, 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. Hildelyn, we've been talking about conditions for deliveristas for years on this show, and before the pandemic. How did the City Council get to where it got just last week?
Well, it's been an effort for delivery workers that are always been essential workers, that got organized and that raised this concern and demanded that New York City Council took some action. They actually did that a year ago. They present a series of basic bills that actually they're just trying to provide a basic framework for them to work. And through their effort, of collaborating with some of the City Council members that were the sponsors, that was able to be achieved last week. In a historic landmark legislation that it was passed.
And one thing that I see, Lihia, in the legislation is that it prevents the food delivery apps and courier services from charging workers fees to receive their pay. Now, I think many people hear that and think, what? That doesn't make any sense. You have to pay something just to receive your pay. So what's that about, and how have delivery workers been charged to receive pay?
Yes. Well, delivery workers, so I think it's important to recognize that the gig economy has completely transformed and changed the rules of how workers do this job. And one of them, it's not only how they do their job, but it's also how they get paid. And some of these apps, in order to make transactions to their bank accounts, have been charging fees if they wanted it a fast pay or a quick pay, and each fee can vary depending on which app they're used. And this is just an example of how the apps have been operating and putting all the cost, the responsibility, and the operating cost on the workers, while preventing them from having basic protections. And what we did last week was trying to rewrite the rules of the gig work in an economy that it's unregulated, where workers have no protections and have been left out without basic rights in the middle of a pandemic.
Right. So let me get into some of the specifics. The bill, for example, Leahy, I'll stay with you on this, allows drivers to set parameters on how far they're willing to go for a delivery. So what happens under the current system? What sorts of trips are drivers expected to take?
So right now, delivery workers have limited control about how far they can travel. It is the app sending these deliveries where workers have some choice of deciding whether they want to take. And with some of the apps like Relay, for instance, if you don't take that trip, you can have a poor rating, or you can actually get suspended, deactivated, or sometimes giving mm-hmm. less hours to work. With other apps, your rating can go down if you consistently deny some of those trips.
Right.
And we're talking about distances from uh-huh. 5 miles, 6 miles, sometimes for a $2 tip, which barely even cost their operating cost of that trip.
So, Hildelin, what's in the bill in that respect? Is it a miles limit, or how did they do it?
So workers will be able to have a parameter of their distance based on the location. Some of these workers work in every neighborhood in New York City, right? And when they get to that neighborhood, they will want be able to kind of like set a parameter that can go 1 mile, 2 miles, 3 miles. The challenge, and I think Lee have raised a good point, right? Right now, these workers are at the mercy of the apps. Sometimes, anyway, we have interfaces, and we show it in the report. We have delivery workers that are actually working right now in Chinatown, and they've been sent to make a delivery in Washington Heights. And they expect to be there in 30 minutes. And that is unsustainable. That have caused so many accidents. Mm-hmm. There's also the loss of so many workers. So this bill will empower the workers to say, I want to be able to travel as much as X amount. And they will be able actually to do that every time that they connect to the app.
Lewis in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lewis. Lewis, do we have you?
Yes, I'm right here.
Hi there. You're on the air. You're a delivery worker, right?
Yes, yes. So one thing that I wanted to complain about is that usually because I deliver for Uber Eats, so many times when I get a request, right, like, for example, last couple of times I've had money taken off my account saying that the customer complained because the food was late or it was cold or it was all messy, and they take off money that I was supposed to get paid even for the food, right? So mm-hmm. whenever we try to get through to customer service, there's not a phone number that we can get to, or they always send us to the app. And they say send a message and we'll get back to you, but they never do. So there's no office that we can go to talk about transactions and stuff like that.
Hildelin, does the legislation address that kind of situation at all?
No, like this is a basic step to set the framework, but what the gentleman raised is very common, right? The delivery workers don't have a person that they can go to. They depend on customer service to get back to them. I think also one of the things that we've been trying the apps to kind of like is be able to notify if the food is late. Not on the a lot of the times it's not on the delivery workers, right? And the gentleman can tell you sometimes he will be there more than in time, but there's a backup on the restaurant. They're running late. The orders haven't come out. So that's something that we plan to keep addressing as we keep moving forward on better the working conditions for these workers. But what he said is actually the livelihood of every delivery worker every day.
And
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah,
go
can
ahead.
I just
sure?
Yeah, and I wanted to ask, and also like what he's pointing it out is the lack of transparency in payment and what fees are being charged. And one of the legislations actually talks about transparency, mandating that these apps can fully disclose what fees and cost the consumer, and the consumer is being charged, the restaurant, and also what the worker is being paid, not only the fee from the app, but also the tip. Because what he mentioned is the lack of transparency that these apps have been operating for the past 2 years and profiting from it as well.
Here's another delivery worker calling in, Ariel in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Ariel.
Hello, Brian. How are you doing?
Good. What you got for us?
Brian?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. There's a little bit of delay. Yeah, I started doing the whole gig thing a couple of years ago, and I used it as a form of employment for a long time, and then I left the business for a short while, and I kind of saw all those things going on. They weren't, you know, they didn't want to pay tipping was a thing that didn't allow people to get tips. You know, they weren't the long distance travel. So this bill is actually kind of great, because, you know, like now I still do some work with DoorDash, and they'll give me a long distance trip from Williamsburg, Brooklyn to Eastern Europe. And I go, oh, no, I just came from Crown Heights. I don't want to go back to Eastern Europe. So, you know, I have to decline that. And, you know, they always say, you know, your rating is going to go down. And mm-hmm. then they'll ask you these questions like, why? Why don't you want to take this trip? And they'll give you all these, you know, A, B, and C, answers. And, you know, it's always the same thing. The trip is too far. And I saw that, and I started to say, you know what? This is a great opportunity because, you know, long-distance trips is too much. The pay is not good enough. And
Go ahead.
Yeah, I do like the idea. And also, I was a part of a lawsuit against Postmates and Caviar. There's a couple people that worked for Postmates in the beginning of the, when they came here to New York City, and they were all bike messengers, and they created some type of bike messenger gig alliance, and they ended up suing Postmates. And there was a lot of people from the East Coast and the West Coast who are down with that lawsuit, and including Caviar. Caviar was also a part of that lawsuit too. And the Postmates one was actually won, and they won the settlement, and it depended, whoever got paid the highest was whoever stayed on the road the longest. You know, you did more work, you got, you know, paid out from the settlement. And Caviar, the same thing. So I'm glad that there's a lot of things going on that are helping a lot of people in the gig economy, because I know a lot of people who are using this form as employment, you know, because of what happened within the last couple of years.
To get by, yeah. Ariel, can I ask you one thing? Because this makes people who don't know this business crazy when they hear it. Do the restaurants that you deliver for actually deny you the right to use the bathroom if you ask?
Some of them do. I only asked a few times, and I guess they do. But the restaurants that I've been to, they'll say, "Oh, we don't have a restroom," but I think they do. I only asked twice in a number of years. I would leave like two or three times. And it's probably been in the city. Like, if I run around in the city a lot, I used to, you know, ask them for the restroom. Some people say yes, some people say no. So
yeah, and now it looks like they won't be able to say no as easily. Helderlin, we just have a minute left. There are, of course, other specifics we could talk about, like the tipping practices. One of the most dismaying things to hear as a consumer in the past years, that oftentimes tips that you think are going to the delivery worker through an app don't even go to them. But what's not in this bill? What's the next step? We have 30 seconds.
So this is just the beginning. Last week, thousands of delivery workers wake up with new rights, right? This is incredible to even kind of like think about in 2021. These workers didn't have no rights at all. This is just the beginning of many things. We have to keep addressing the issue of safety. That's what we want to address. And also the issue about accidents. A lot of workers are being hurt. They take months to get back to work. They don't have a workers' compensation insurance for them to fall into. So we're looking at that, at those issues to address.
Right.
And I think the rest is going to be the state.
And now they're still independent contractors, which remains controversial too. Hildalyn Colon Hernandez, Director of Policy and Strategic Partnerships for Los Deliveristas. Ligia Gualpa, Executive Director of the Workers' Justice Project. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
The Brian Lehrer Show is produced by Lisa Allison, Mary Croak, Zoe Azoulay, Amina Cerna, and Carl Boisron. Zach Goddard-Cohen works on our daily podcast. Juliana Fonda at the audio controls.